Welcome to the New Life Help Now podcast, where we give you professional help for your life now. We specialize in equipping you with usable life relationship tools that will help you in the workplace and at home. You'll find valuable information that will help you find peace with others and with yourself when you're all alone. Without further ado, the Life Help Now podcast. Welcome to the Life Help Now podcast. My name is Darren Dixon, and right here we have Miss Brenda Dixon, and we have an awesome show for you today. We're going to be talking about self-discipline, and the title of this podcast is Can You Get Self-Discipline? So, Miss Brenda, for those of you who don't know, she's also my mother. So, Miss Mama, what do you got for us?
Thank you, Darren. Well, I've had several clients that have come in and they lament that they can't stop doing this and they can't stop doing that. And I'm like, well, what does it take to stop doing something or to replace doing what you do or get caught up in as a habit?
Stop doing like what?
Like a habit.
Like what kind of habit?
Like a habit. Like eating cashews every Friday night. Sounds good, doesn't it?
That sounds pretty good. I wouldn't mind to have that habit.
Or like going out riding every Sunday afternoon. Just riding aimlessly, which that sounds fun too. I guess I'm just thinking of the fun ones. But
what would be a bad habit?
A bad habit would be
that someone really should stop.
Maybe getting a case of cola and drinking a case a week. That's probably not the best thing for your teeth and for your body. And
there's nothing good about that.
Or there might be getting a pencil and chewing on the eraser as you're thinking. That's probably not one of the best things for you.
So, that makes sense.
So anyway, there's some old habits. And my question to myself was, how can you become disciplined? How can you become disciplined? And there's many things that I know myself. I like to change things about myself, and there may be things that the listener wants to change themselves. And
sure,
you can think about where you are and what's going on in your life. And we'll just head in that direction, because my question is it possible? Is it possible?
All things are possible.
It is. And you know, I just saw this week on, I think it was on TV, that this 77-year-old grandmother started lifting weights, just working out one of these fitness centers. And her sister invited her to do it along with her. And she said, I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do that. And she said, well, yeah, let's do it. She says, let's do it and get in the Guinness Book of World Records. And then the woman laughed. Yeah, just like you did. She laughed. And so she started working out and got little measure of success and kept working out a little bit more and started looking a little bit better, and then started going more than 3 days a week, 4 days, and then she actually went 7 days a week.
Oh, and watch out.
Yeah. And then they showed her where she won in her category, which there probably wasn't anybody else.
How many would be in that category?
I don't know.
A good one.
She said she won in her category, and I started laughing. I didn't know if there was anybody else competing against her, but she won.
That'll teach you.
Bodybuilding, and she looked amazing. Amazing. It even changed her chin and her neckline.
Hmm.
She didn't have surgery. She just lifted weights, and she didn't do it. She wasn't like crazy bodybuilding. She looked fine. She just looked good. She looked healthy. And sure enough, Guinness Book of World Records called her and said, we're going to put you in our book. And she goes, oh my goodness, this is the way it is.
That's awesome. You know, you set your mind to something, and you know, if there's something about yourself that you're not happy with or pleased with, you know, you can set your mind to it, make a commitment, and make a change.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what do you need to do? What are you saying, people this age, or women don't do this, or guys don't do, what are you saying? And so I'm just saying, I'm going to challenge the listener.
That's right. And this week, I am going to do at least one push-up, and I'm going to do at least one sit-up, because last week, I don't know if I did any. Well, I think I may have done one or two.
Oh, if you did.
But this week, I'm closer to forming a habit if I do it, and I can't remember if I did any last week. It wasn't of really any significance. But this week, I'm going to do a minimum of one push-up and one sit-up.
Self-discipline is rising up in you, Darren.
Well, the hardest one is the first one.
That's right.
And I might just get wild and crazy and try to do two.
That's right. You're so right. There are people that have really severe habits, not just, I mean, we're talking about some of the lesser degrees, but there are people that have really severe habits, and they're show up when they go to the doctor, and they have all kinds of ailments as a result of it. And so whatever degree that this is helpful, then use it. Just apply it. But this is not to beat anybody over the head with, and you're not to go to your dad and say, you know what I heard? You need to. No, we're not going to do it. You need to. We're going to. That's not the purpose of this.
We're talking about
I
need to.
Something that you yourself can do for yourself. That's what this is. So I got to thinking about attitude. The attitude probably was the number one thing when I was going through this in my mind. And the first attitude that I came up with was to have a no frustration attitude.
I have a question. This is, can you get self-discipline? So can we define what self-discipline is? Just for me. What would, just off the top of your head, just a little impromptu thing.
I have to get a dictionary to answer that question.
Well, go get a dictionary. Where's one? We probably got one laying around here somewhere. I'll tell a funny story while you're getting it. Did you ever hear the one about the yard guy and lived in the subdivision and the taxi cab driver? Nobody's heard it? Well, that's because I haven't written that joke yet. But, you know, I have been taking some comedy classes from Rick Roberts School of Laughs. So that's a little plug for you, Rick. And I've been learning to do some things, even though it didn't really show in that little intro right there. But I am learning about some really cool stuff from his class, and I'll have to do that. I'll have to bring one of my jokes. I'll have to bring a joke to the Life Help Now podcast, so then that way you all can see my stand-up comedy. You can hear my stand-up comedy. Did you find something?
I did. He made me go get a dictionary.
That's right. We don't slack around here at the Life Help Now studios.
Well, I do remember this about discipline. It actually comes from the word disciple.
Hmm.
How about that? Isn't that interesting? But in this dictionary, which is Webster's, Merriam-Webster says that it is training that develops self-control, character, orderliness, and efficiency. Strict control to enforce obedience, and the result of such training or control, specifically as self-control or orderly conduct. And it's a system of rules. I know everybody is excited about that.
You all, I'm laughing. I had to come clean with this. This is so hilarious. You don't realize that my partner here, she's my mom. She ran to the other part of our studio to get this. She's still trying to read this and not sound like she's winded because she ran down a flight of steps and around the corner. Because you're really pretty good shape for doing that. And nobody could hardly tell except for me. So, but since I'm your son, you know, I'm allowed to talk about stuff like that. And I'm allowed to do that. Just like my youngest son, we've got a moped. And he's 10 years old, and he likes for me to take him for a ride on it. It's a powered moped. It goes about 30 miles an hour. So he sits behind me and puts his arms around me. So my youngest, what he loves to do is bring things that you want to hide to the forefront and broadcast them. You know, it's like something you'd be self-conscious about. Well, what he did is I got some a little bit more than love handles right here. So instead of putting his arms around me like a bear hug, he went ahead and put his arms in front of me and grabbed onto my belly roll here and just started just squeezing it with a big old smile on his face. So your kids are allowed to do stuff like that. That's the out of breath thing. So I guess that's where he got it from. So I didn't mean to interrupt the flow.
Yes. Well, the no frustration attitude is if you do really want to be self-disciplined and break a habit, then a person will have to change their normal daily routine.
Gotcha.
It's hard to do because we begin to ask ourselves to stop doing something that has an automatic response. And then we turn it into making a new groove. I call it a new brain groove.
A new convolution.
Yes. So to break a habit, so that we can be self-controlled, so that we can accept the rules, so we can be strong to do what we need to do. To break a habit, one has to make a conscious effort, and we do not rely on automatic pilot. Automatic pilot is what we usually do once we have a habit. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to make a decision about it. It just happens.
Those are my favorite.
Yes.
Because I can get ready in the morning a whole lot faster when I don't have to think about what's going on.
Exactly. And what we're talking about here is changing an old habit, which is very uncomfortable. It feels kind of irregular. But you can do it. Because just like you were talking a while ago, there may be things that you want to change. Maybe want's not the right word. Need. Maybe there's things that need to be changed.
Well, yeah, and it's want and need. I mean, I'm sure there's several things that I need to change, but the one that's going to be changed is the one that I want to change, because the other ones, you know, since it takes an effort and a commitment to make a change, I'm not going to change the other one until I'm ready to make a commitment.
I know. So this is the first thing I say to my clients that are working on making a change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they come to me, it's a little more than a little bit. It's more extreme. It's kind of interrupting their sleep if they're not, or it's interrupting a relationship, or it's just plain old interrupting their work. So we're talking about kind of an, maybe extreme is not the right word, but it's not just a little something that's annoying you. But you also can use this on things that do annoy you. So this is my first thing that I say to the clients. Maybe it's not the first thing, but I say it at some point. Give yourself permission to be wrong.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I want you to be kind to yourself. And I remember saying that to a client one day, and she came back the next week, and she said, that's all she heard me say. She says, I did not realize I was not kind to myself. Wow. And when you said that to me, it just sparked something in me. And she says, I was driving to work. I thought about it every day. I thought I was kind to myself. And she says, you were right. I was not kind to myself. So she gave herself permission. And it was not as easy as she thought, but it was a new thing, a new idea for her.
Well, you just hit something right there. You're speaking to somebody that's listening to that right now. Because there's a lot of nice people out there. Here's a question. Do you treat yourself with the same respect as you treat with others?
That is a good question.
Now, I know some people right now that I'm thinking of. Do you take care of yourself like you would take care of others?
That's another good question.
Because you think about it. Ultimately, you know, God gave you to take care of yourself, but you also have to take care of others. Because if you don't take care of yourself and your temple, nobody else is entrusted in that job. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
You have to maintain and you have to take care of things, and you're supposed to live in that. But that's not supposed to be your only focus. You're supposed to do that, keep things going and keep things going good. But you also need to reach out for others. If the problem is the selfishness when you stick on yourself.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yes. Well, we know that temple really is our own body. Some people don't really know that phraseology, but some people are very aware of it. So we know that when we take care of our own bodies and our own minds, and we are as kind and considerate of ourselves as we are of other people, it just makes a difference.
Sure.
We respond with more strength. We respond with more clarity. There's less confusion. And so it's just really a good thing. So as we are going through the no frustration attitude to learn how to have self-discipline, another thing that we have to do is to do it and do it and practice it and practice it and practice it. And one day we'll begin to notice that the old thing is not as prevalent and the new thing is more prevalent in our life. And actually, we'll just keep continuing and continuing, and the old habit is gone, and the new one is actually in our daily routine. So it's really important when you do something to have the goal in mind, but not have the defeat in your thoughts, because the defeat is always easier than the goal. So you're rearranging your thinking by saying, what is my goal? Okay. And I'm talking generally. You plug in what your thing is that you want discipline in. You may be a person that gets your paycheck and spends it before you get it on Friday and it's gone by Tuesday. And what if you change that to a different mode of thinking, and you thought, I'm just going to try a different way, and I'm going to keep it for a whole month. I'm only going to use it for the rent or payment, house payment.
Just for the bills.
Bills, yeah, just for the necessities. And everything, I mean, just do you see a different way of thinking about this? So you plug in your goal and consider yourself as a person that is not frustrated. You're just going to head in a direction to break an automatic pilot way of thinking. And you're going to go into a conscious effort to transform the habit. Now, the second attitude that I came up with was, actually I named it No Drill Sergeant Attitude.
No Drill Sergeant.
Yes. When a person is making a change, they will allow room for being sloppy or inaccurate.
Okay. Let me just kind of repeat that. So if you're going to make a change, you pretty much give yourself some slack for the transition.
You actually give yourself permission to do it sloppy.
Well, that makes sense, just because you're not going to be good at it.
Because if you're trying to be perfect or even the best, I'll say ice skating. I've never been on ice skates. I can't even imagine putting them on. I really cannot. But let's just say that you're an ice skater, or let's say you're a person that puts the ice skates on. Mm-hmm. And you watch on TV a professional ice skater. If you think that you're going to be able to do any measure of that at first, you're going to defeat yourself. But if you look at it and go, wow, if I could just stand up on those skates and hold on to the side, wherever the side is, or the bar, if I could just do that, then I may be able to progress in a much better way. Mm-hmm. Just changing the way that I think. The practice is the part that makes you stronger. It's the process that actually begins to make the groove in your brain. So to process successfully, you have to give yourself permission to not get it right, to be disappointing to yourself. Isn't that good? Just to be disappointing, just like, oh man, I didn't get that at all. And that's okay. In other words, you'll tell yourself, it's okay for me to not get this. Then you begin to learn to recognize that that old habit, that former habit, and you will refuse to fall into that old habit. You'll recognize it first, and then you'll refuse it. Say, okay. And here, I'm going to take the ice skating example. The old habit is, I can't do it. That's the way you think. I can't do it. Now I've recognized that I say that. And so then I say, I refuse to say that again. So I just broke that habit because I'm going to keep saying it and saying it till it's not significant anymore. So even our habits come through our thoughts. So we have to, habits are insidious. They're just everywhere. We have to refuse to stay in that old habit as quickly as we can recognize it. We want to become unstuck. And we want to have the attitude that we're not a drill sergeant. It's not rigid. It's not formal. It's not, we're not hard on anybody or ourselves. Then our attitude begins to change because we are beginning to treat ourselves differently. If you are trying to break a habit, for example, let's say you're going to an antique shop every time you get a paycheck. You're going to buy something. You get paid, and then you decide, it's like Pavlov's dog. As soon as you hear the bell, you start salivating. As soon as you get your paycheck, you think, oh, I got to go buy me something. I got to go to that antique store, and I got to get me a new little vase. I got to get me a new, an old book or something. It's just automatic. This procedure begins to change when you change what you're normally doing. So normally you go to the antique shop, you're going to go to a new place, or you're going to do a new thing like get a massage or go get a facial or don't spend any money at all. Just decide to go somewhere and walk in a park on Friday when you get your check. See how you're changing what you normally do as an old habit. You change it to a new thing. But remember,
to break the repetition.
You're breaking it, and you're not the drill sergeant. You're not critical of yourself. You're not you're just not rigid about it.
So if you wanted to do it, but you decided to go ahead and do it anyway, you don't really beat yourself up over it. You say, okay, well, next time let's find something that's going to be more fun to do and kind of go on with it. And then when you do it, just kind of be more easygoing about it.
Whatever the habit is, see if you can replace it with something different. Maybe something healthier, something that's easier to do than what you were doing. For example, buying something at an antique shop every Friday when you get your paycheck, being replaced by walking in the park, totally changes. You're not spending the money. You're not getting too many things. You're not being forced. It changes your thought patterns. And really what you're doing is you're changing your thought patterns. And then to me, this is the exciting part. At the end of that, let's say you do go somewhere and just walk in the park. Then you say affirmations like, I did good. I didn't go. I changed my thought. So see how we're not being critical of ourselves, but we're affirming.
That's good.
And the affirming is so healthy. The attitude is the most important thing. It really is the most important thing. So we have the no frustration attitude, being kind to yourself, and then we have the no drill sergeant attitude, where you're being totally and completely free to make a mistake or free to go to the new exchange, like go to get a massage rather than go to the antique shop.
Breaking the repetition and replacing it with something else instead of just not doing anything. So then that way you're occupied and you're not thinking about what you're not doing. You've actually replaced it with another experience.
Yes.
So you got something else in there because you got to do something. I mean, that's probably one reason why they started doing the habit forming thing to start with.
Yes.
Because you wanted something else to do.
Yes.
Well, that's great. We're about running out of time on this podcast. just want to let everybody know that you're welcome to come to our websites. It's lifehelpnow.com and check us out, and you can listen to a whole assortment of our podcasts that we've done in the past. We've got podcasts on fear. We've got podcasts on many different things, and you're more than welcome to go through and listen to those. And eventually, we are going to be on Stitcher and iTunes. And when that happens, maybe this is the first episode that we do that to. Write us a review. We appreciate it. And just say, if you like something, say something on there about it. And if you even have a question, send us in a question and we'll talk about it on a future episode. Well, that concludes our show for today. Thank you everybody so much for hanging out with us and listening to us. So we're signing off from the Life Help Now studios in Nashville, Tennessee. And God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Life Help Now podcast. Please subscribe, and if you like what you hear, write a review and share it with a friend. Visit our website at www.lifehelpnow.com and send us an email and questions on what you would like answered on future podcasts. Miss Brenda Dixon is also available for phone consultations. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.